I just want to talk to us this morning about this idea of identity. Because you know, all of us, when we are born, we're all born to a family. The moment you are born to a family, they give you a name. Even before you're even born, you already have a name waiting for you when you come out. So that name is your identity. That's your family name. So you come and so you identify yourself everywhere you go by that family, by last name, your name. That is your identity. We all have one. Now, you know, and people really, you know, sometimes in some cultures, if the family does something that dishonor that name, I mean, they get in trouble quick because they're so serious about this is our identity, this is who we are. You see, when you think about the identity issues, when you end up in jail, your name is added a whole bunch of numbers. And people know you more that you're prisoner 0492. And your name kind of like, they don't care about who you are anymore. And you tend to lose your identity once you end up in prison for a long time. And you become a number of the system. You see, when you travel, you need to have an ID. You need to have your identity. And, you know, that's where we get passports. They will not let you in unless you show where you're coming from. And so you identify yourself. This is where I'm coming from. This is where I live. This is my identity. Certain jobs, you know, you have your name, but in certain jobs, you're also more known for your title than your actual name. He's Dr. So-and-so. He's FBI agent, Secret Service James Carter. I mean, that you identify yourself with a job. You are the nurse. You are a lawyer. You are a CEO of this company. And so that becomes your identity by which you are known to the rest of the world. NCIS. You see, you're not just known by your name. Now there's a title attached to your name, and that becomes your identity. People are more known. Sometimes people don't even know the name of the guy. They just know he's Dr. So-and-so. And he's, you know, and so identity, that's what we're talking about. We all have one. But do you know that we, when we become Christians, we also are giving a new identity? The problem that we have, the problem a lot of Christians, I think, have in our society is that we truly don't really know who we are with that identity. We truly don't get it. We truly don't know who we are. We become like Matt Damon in the identity crisis, like, the born identity. He did not know who he was. And so in Christians, sometimes I think a lot of Christians struggle with who they are now that they become Christians. Are you with me? You follow what I'm talking about? So a lot of Christians, even though they're Christian, you already made the transition. You're a believer in Jesus. But I think we still don't get who we are in our new identity. And that's my job this morning. I want to go into really diving into what it is that who we are now that we become Christians. What does that actually mean? Just to have the name Christian or to be in Christ. What in the world is going on there? What's that? See, when you become a Christian, the Bible says that you transition from darkness into light. You made a transition from death into life. The Bible even calls that a new birth. See, when you're born, you're given a name. So the Bible calls this new identity, you are born again. I mean, think about it. That's because you are given a new identity in Christ. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, which, by the way, there's a movie coming out, and I already saw it. It's called Paul the Apostles, and it's great. If you want to be a serious student of the Bible, the book of Acts, you got to go see that movie. March 23rd is coming. And it's very accurate in terms of the Bible. So Paul, the great apostle of Jesus, he writes a letter to a church in Corinth. Some of them were struggling about who they were with their own identity in Christ. And he goes on in the second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through following. So he goes on and says, you know, once you become, you have this new identity, you are a citizen of a different country also. Remember, somebody read a text today, it's like that. This is not our home anymore. So even with the new identity in Christ, you are now citizen of a different place. So Paul addresses that. He's reminding them that it's God's purpose that you and I, his believers, adopt this new identity. With this new identity comes also different perspective. How we look at the world, because we have a new identity now, it ought to be different. How we make sense of the world. We call that worldview in colleges. A worldview is the platform from which you stand to make sense of the world. Everybody has a worldview. They might not know what it is,
where everybody looks at the world through their own perspective. So now that we have a new identity, we are to look at the world through that identity that we have. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying now? So Paul addresses that to the Corinthian church. He says, you know, we have a new point of view now. Since we are in Christ, we have a new identity. So we got to look at the world through the way Jesus will look at the world. That's what's called a biblical perspective or biblical worldview. So in 2 Corinthians, I just want to read what the Apostle Paul writes to them. Second, I don't know what page it might be in your Bibles. You can have it on your phone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through following. This is what Paul says. So from now on, he says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. So nobody, from now on, he's talking to Christian people, said, we regard nobody from a worldly point of view. Our point of view now has to be Christ-centered. It's because of the new identity we have. And then he goes on, check this out. He says, therefore, that's a connecting word. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has begun. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I mean, this is a beautiful passage. It really sheds light into who we are now that we are Christians, our new identity in Christ. And I love that because some of you guys, perhaps you memorize that. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If anybody is, check this out, in Christ, he is a new creation. See, those who are in Christ, those who become Christian, they get a new identity, which is found now in Jesus. Now, the Bible teaches that by faith in Christ, we become children of God. According to John 11 and 12, John says, he came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. Yet to all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave him the right to be made children of God. Children not born of our father or mother's will, but born of God. That's what John says. So the moment you believe in Christ, you're given that identity. Now you become a child of the King, a child of God. In John, the Gospel. In Ephesians 1:13, it says that we are included, that's the preposition, in Christ when we heard the gospel and believed the gospel message. So that's why Paul says, if anybody is in Christ, like that preposition, that's key when we read the Bible. We are to be in Jesus. Christian is somebody who is in Christ. If anybody is in Christ, then there's a new creation because the old has gone and the new has begun. You see, this new identity in Christ is also known as being born again, a rebirth. John 3, Jesus talking to a religious zealot, Nicodemus, Jesus said, nobody can enter the kingdom of God unless that he is born again. Unless you are given a new identity, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't get it. Nicodemus is still thinking, how am I going to be born again when I'm already a grown-up man? And Jesus said, you don't get the spiritual things. Being born again. And then he said later on, you got to be born of the water and the spirit. See, a baptism is a symbolism how we're put on that new identity in Christ. Now, I love that Paul says it was God's plan and purpose. If anybody is in Christ, it's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has begun. All this is from God, he says, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus. All this is from God. So the fact that you and I are now given a new identity, it was God's plan that you and I be reconciled to him through Christ. God made it possible for you and I to have a new identity, to be able to be included into his family, all because of the sacrifice of Jesus, all because of his son. Let me give you a definition for what a Christian is. And regard what Webster says a Christian is, this is the definition that I'm going to go with. And I like it based on the Bible. A Christian is somebody whose identity is in Christ. That's easy. A Christian, truly a Christian in the Bible, is someone whose identity is found in Jesus. That's why it's called Christianos, like somebody who is in Christ. Christian, that's what a Christian is according to the Bible. Now, every time you find the preposition in, with, by, through, it's really telling you and I about our identity. And I just want to share a couple of verses through the Bible so you see what it means to be, to have his identity. You see, we are reconciled, God reconciles to himself through Christ. He is the means by which reconciliation came. In Romans 5:10, we are reconciled to God. I mean, Romans, in another book, in another letter, Paul telling the Roman Christians the same thing that he's telling the Corinthians right here. It's through Christ. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God, according to Colossians 3:3. We are declared righteous or innocent before God because of through Christ, Romans 5:1. We are not condemned because we are in Christ. Romans 8 says, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's your identity. Because you have the identity in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned. Because you have identity in Christ Jesus, you are at peace with God. Because you have this identity in Christ Jesus, God looks at you righteous. Therefore, you will not be seeing judgment because you are in Christ. Man, this is a great thing to be in Christ. Now, the opposite is true. Take Christ out of there. God is mad at you. You're going straight to hell. You're enemy of God, because the whole idea of reconciliation means that there were two parties and they're mad at each other. They're in conflict. And somebody comes between and says, you guys don't have to fight anymore. I be the bridge so that you guys can be at peace with one another. So the Bible says that because of our sin, we're enemies of God. And if we're enemies of God, we're placing ourselves on the wrong side. And then we deserve his condemnation rather than his blessing. And so somebody came between. The Bible calls that a mediator, a go-betweener, a referee. Say, you guys don't have to fight anymore. Come on. Man, you can come to God through me. I be the bridge. I'm through. Like we need, in order for us to go to Coney Island, we had to go through the Verrazano Bridge. You remove that bridge, you might have to fly over, or you might have to go through a boat. But that bridge is the way, but if you want to walk on it or you want to drive through it, unless you want to take the wrong way around. Jesus is the bridge by humanity. You and I can come close to God. That's why Paul says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself, made us friends with God again, because of the sacrifice that Jesus on the cross. So we're not condemned because we are in Christ. So as readers of the Bible, pay attention. In the New Testament, especially in the letters, the prepositions are key. Every time that you hear about by Christ, through Christ, with Christ, it's telling you this is who you are now because of what Jesus did. This is your identity. All this is possible because you are in Christ. You are included. See, this is what God gave us. Our new identity in Christ was God's plan. He reconciled us to himself, but he also gave us a task to do. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. Let's just keep on reading our text so you see what's going on. Verse 18, he says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. A ministry of reconciliation? What in the world is that? So you see, God not just gave you a new identity, he gave you also, now that you have a new identity, you have a task to do. Just like when you get another job, that job comes with tasks, things for you to do. So this new identity, it's not just that you be happy and say, oh, I'm so glad that God saved me and he loved me. He expects you to do something now. Like if you join any force, you know, a police, fire departments, you know, yes, you have a name, but that's who you are. And your job will be to either fight crime, keep the law in order, or fight fighters. That's who you are. So now that we've been given a new identity, what are we supposed to do? There's the key. Paul says, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry? Have you ever heard of this ministry in the church? Does any church have a ministry of reconciliation? They do, but they don't know it. And let me show it to you. We all have that ministry, by the way. Because you and I being reconciled to God, you also being given the ministry of reconciliation. Let's go back to our text so that you see what I'm talking about. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, it's a new creation. All has gone, the new has begun. All this idea, the new creation, is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, who's the us here? Anybody who's being reconciled to God. The us here is anybody who calls himself a believer, a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, friends, you and I are ministers, agents of reconciliation in this world. In case you didn't know, all of us. Anybody who's been reconciled to God now, that's, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that ministry entail? What does that mean? The next verse answers that question for us. Look what it says. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. What this whole ministry of reconciliation is all about is that God was reconciling the whole world to himself. And when he did it, was that God looked at your sin and he did not take your sins into consideration. He did not take your sin into account, all because of Jesus. All because of Christ. Like, God knew that we're sinful people, but because of he reconciled to Christ, he wiped that whole thing clean and says they're forgiven now. They're righteous because of Christ. That's what the whole reconciliation is all about. That God was not counting men's sins against them. Can you imagine when God says, like, yeah, they're guilty. No blessings coming for them. But because of Jesus, God said, no, they're forgiven now. God was not taking our sins into consideration. Because of Christ. And verse 21 is the key. And we sang that song. He became sin who knew no sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. There's the verse. Verse 21. God made him who knew no sin. That's Jesus. God made Jesus who knew no sin, because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice of God. He did not commit sin. God made Jesus who knew no sin to become sin, to become a sin offering for us, so that in him, in Christ, you and I can become righteous before God. Man, that's a beautiful image right there. That only because of Jesus, God looks at you and says, they're innocent. I always get the imagery. God looks at us and he sees like sin, bad behavior. I mean, just like nasty. He cannot even look at us. And then he takes the binoculars. Jesus, we like binoculars. He looks at us through Jesus and all he sees is holy people, righteous, sanctified. They deserve heaven. That's what Jesus does. But you remove Jesus out of there, God cannot look at me. He cannot even look at you. Because we're still sinful people. It's got to be through Christ, a mediator, somebody greater than us, that through whom God will reconcile us. So God did not pay attention to my sin because of Jesus. He will not look at your sin, because once Jesus is there, he says he is sanctified, he is glorified, he is innocent. All because of Christ. That's because of the new identity that you and I have in Christ, man. I don't know about you, but that's like, wow. Look at all the things that God has done. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself. That was the plan of God, that you and I don't have to spend the rest of our lives lost. He went to get us, to reconcile us to himself, to make us friends with him again, through the sacrifice of Jesus. The ministry of reconciliation is given to everybody who has already been reconciled to God. It is the task of every Christian now. He says, I love that, God has committed to us the message. Some translation will say the word of reconciliation. That verse again. When he says, verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in, there's a preposition, in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed, he has entrusted now to us the message. That word message, you look it up in some translation, will say the word of reconciliation. So God has committed that to you and I. You see, not just elders, preachers, every member of God's family, everybody who calls themselves a Christian has this ministry to accomplish. The ministry of reconciliation. And you wonder, like, well, how do I do that? Everywhere you go, there God sent you to be his representative, to be his agents of reconciliation. Like, you know, sometimes, like Jesus said in the gospel, you're like, blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes you have to come between people as Christians so they don't kill each other. So it's like, you, by doing that, you're already doing that word, the message, you're doing that ministry of reconciliation. And I love the next line. Because if you're still confused about what the ministry of reconciliation is, Paul says that therefore, you are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Man, listen to that. He goes on and says, we are therefore, because of all the things that I've been telling you about, therefore we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And the appeal is this, we implore you in Christ, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You and I are Christ's ambassadors. Man, that's a huge task. Now, what is an ambassador? An ambassador, every country has ambassadors in other places. An ambassador is somebody who's being authorized by that government to represent that government in a foreign land. Now, translate that into who we are in Christ. You think this is our land? We are to be ambassadors everywhere we go. An ambassador is being authorized by the government. You represent the government overseas. So anybody wants to know anything, what the government is about, what you guys are about, the ambassador will be the person that they can talk to. He is a representative of that particular country overseas. This is the message. This is the whole ministry of reconciliation that God has committed to you and I. You see, do you want to know why you were given this new identity? You want to know why that was God's plan so that you and I become now his ambassadors, his emissaries everywhere we go. So you go and tell others that they too need to be reconciled to God. That's the word of reconciliation. That's the message that our job now to tell people, you know, if you're going to go live your life without God, you are still enemies of him. You still have not been reconciled. It's my job to let you know, point you out in the right direction. Yes, you might feel that I'm judging you, but that's what the scripture is telling me that I need to tell you. And it's going to be up to you. You want to be reconciled to God, but he says you still go in the wrong direction and God's calling you. Be reconciled to him. Don't no longer be an enemy. Be a friend of God now through Jesus Christ. You and I are to tell others that they must believe in Jesus in order to have peace with God. You and I are to go and tell other people that they must embrace Jesus if they truly want to be part of God's kingdom. You and I, our job is to tell others that they need Jesus if they want to, in fact, be innocent, declare innocent, and not face judgment in the last day. This message of the gospel has been committed to every Christian, you and I. You see, we all have different abilities and gifts, but everywhere you go, you are to be an ambassador of Christ. And it's beautiful. I mean, sometimes we cannot be ambassadors when we're like all together here because we still believe the same thing. We represent, you know, the ambassador thing takes place when you are working over there with people that are hard to deal with. When you're dealing at school, when your peers don't believe the same thing, there you are to be an envoy, a representative of Jesus Christ, an ambassador. I see God's making his appeal to the world through you. Isn't that amazing? God's utilizing you and me to tell the world that they need him. To tell the world that they need to be reconciled to him. You see, that's what the whole Bible talks about, the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, the whole thing. I mean, another way to put it is like you are to be where you live, you are to be a representative, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Somebody by whom people can get to know Jesus. That's our job. As though God's making his appeal through me and through you. Amazing. That God still can use people like us to accomplish his will and purpose. Every follower of Jesus has been given a new identity, but they're also now agents of reconciliation. They're now ambassadors for Christ through whom God's making his appeal. You are an officer of the Lord. I mean, it's like God just put, he created you. He made a new identity. Now, here it is. He put the suit on us. Ambassador for Jesus. Maybe somebody created a shirt already. It said, ambassador for Christ. There it is. If you haven't, you can create it now. But it's like, that's who you are. When people say, who are you? In Christ, I'm an ambassador. Wherever I go, wherever life takes me, that's what Paul talks about in Timothy later on. I have finished the race. He realized at one time he was going to die and his ambassadorship was going to end. He was going to be done. But meanwhile, as long as you live in this life, if you consider yourself a Christian, you are an ambassador. And if you don't know what ministry you have right now, even in churches, I got one for you. You're an ambassador. And that takes place out where you live, where you work. You are an ambassador. And now, you know the key? You are to represent Jesus to the world. The problem we have in our society a lot of times, a lot of Christians, is that we misrepresent Jesus. Just like there are bad ambassadors out there, there are also good ones. And sometimes we misrepresent Christ. And we make it hard for people to come to Christ because they look at us and they're like, "What?" So wherever we go, we are to be Christ's ambassadors. This comes with a new identity that we have. Remember, he said, "All this is from God, who did the reconciliation." And now he has entrusted us the ministry of reconciliation. I love that movie, The Lord of the Rings, when Frodo, number three, he's taking the ring to Mordor, where the ring is going to be destroyed. And at one time, because he's going dealing through a lot, his friends, I mean, they're all scattered. And, you know, he comes to a point that's like he doesn't really know if he can continue. And finally, you know, it's like the journey is so hard, and he's having doubt, you know, that he needs to take the ring. But if he doesn't take the ring, evil triumphs. So one time, Frodo has this beautiful elf lady to remind him who he was. And she said this to Frodo: "This task has been appointed to you, Frodo of the Shires. And if you do not find a way, no one will." Check this out. That task of being an ambassador for Christ has been appointed to all of us, church. And if we do not find a way how to be ambassadors where we live, no one will. God does not have plan B. Angels are not going to come anymore. Or voice and things. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:10, it's not going to be through the church, you and I, that God's manifold wisdom will be known. So because our job is to tell others, go tell it on the mountains. Tell others that they need to be reconciled to God. That's our job as ambassadors. That's our ministry, everybody. If you didn't know what your ministry is in life, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you were agent of reconciliation. Amen. And he expects you now to behave as such wherever we go. That when I'm at the ball field, I'm to be an agent of reconciliation. That maybe through me, somebody here in the field, somebody here at the mall, somebody here at the movie theater can get to know Jesus, because I'm going to act as his representative. Man, when we Christians live our lives like that, man, it becomes incarnational. We become like Jesus everywhere we go. It's like we are his hands and feet. We're his mouth. We're proclaiming the gospel. I don't know about you, but I just get excited about that. The new identity that we have in him, man. It just, wow. He gave us a new identity, a new birth. He also gave you a new uniform now to accomplish his task, to accomplish his mission. You and I are agents of Christ, ambassador. Now, do you really know who you are in Christ? I just want to leave you with that question. I said a lot of things already, but do you truly know who you are in Christ? Because if you still don't know, just study that text more in depth now and dive deeper into it. You see, not knowing who you are, not knowing really your identity, will have you misrepresenting Jesus everywhere you go. You know what I mean? When you don't truly know who you are because of the new identity, we'll have you tomorrow misrepresenting Jesus as his ambassadors. That's why you truly need to know who you are because of Christ, who you are in Christ, and what he has done for you and what he expects of you and I as we go. You are Christ's ambassadors if indeed you have believed in Jesus. And like I said, this task is for all of us. Anybody who says, "Jesus, you're my Savior and Lord." Anybody who says, "I'm a new," some people say, "I'm saved. I'm a born again Christian." Anybody who calls that and says that has a new identity and is also an ambassador. You are a woman. You are a man. Doesn't matter the age you have. As long as God has you on this earth, breathing and talking to people, you are to be an ambassador to represent him. If he still has you here, even though you might be in pain because illnesses and things you're going, but if God still has you here, believe me, he still has a plan. And he's still going to use you as frailty or whatever it is you're going through. He's still going to use you to accomplish his purposes. God doesn't make mistakes. He created you and he says, "That's my agent of reconciliation." I mean, imagine God has a whole bunch of agents of reconciliation here in Staten Island. And then when you go to a park, you go to a camp, there God sends representative. You see, that's what it calls, some people call that missional. When we live as missionaries in the culture, man, we always see opportunities for you and I to be his ambassadors. And that will be my vision, the dream that, you know, the Christians, those people that I preach to, that they hear me all the time, that they get that vision through their veins. They realize, I'm an ambassador of the King. And I'm to do that, even when I'm teaching a class in a school, in a secular school, when I'm riding the police car, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I'm to operate based on different standards now. When I'm taking a test that's hard, you know, in the college that I go to, I'm an ambassador for Christ there, because there will be people that they do not believe the same thing you do. And there you are to represent Jesus. When you go for the test of the doctor and you talk to the nurses, everywhere, church, hear me out, please. Everywhere you go, you and I are to be representatives of Christ. Because if you call yourself a Christian, this is who we are. This is our new identity. And I'm done. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much for the passion that we just read the text and Lord, it's all over the place. Who we are because of you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for creating that, for giving us a new identity that we operate now by your standards, by your worldview. Lord, thank you for entrusting this message, this ministry of reconciliation, so that we can go to the world and tell the world that they need Jesus. Father, may we take our task seriously. May we understand who we truly are because of you. With a new identity comes a new responsibility for all of us to represent you well everywhere we go. May people see Jesus through us. Like Casting Crowns song says that we are his hands and feet. Everywhere we go, Father, may those around us see Jesus, see glimpses that God is calling them to be reconciled to himself. Thank you for entrusting this task to us. And Lord, thank you because you have given us the tools to accomplish it. All glory and honor is yours. Thank you for giving us this new identity that makes us citizens of heaven. And one day we'll go with you to live forever, and we will no longer be ambassadors. But until that time, we are to be on this earth. Thank you, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.